Shortly after coming to power, the Nazis adopted an official policy of eugenics. This policy had two main aims. The first objective was to increase the number of the Aryan race and raise it to world domination. In the light of the first objective of the eugenics policy, the Nazis began selecting Germans whom they regarded as ideal representatives of the Aryan race. They set about classifying the Aryan race, preliminary studies for which had been performed on the peoples of Peru and Tibet throughout the country. They classified and registered people according to such features as skull volume and hair and eye color. With these measurements they took, they sought to classify people according to the theory of evolution. Those people who exhibited Aryan race characteristics were sent for special training and were elevated to a privileged class. Unbelievable measures were set in motion in the light of this twisted Nazi ideology. Members of the SS began to be officially married off to selected women. This assumed such dimensions that in 1933, 2,000 marriage applications were made within 1 week. According to Himmler's calculations, at that rate, all of Germany would become a pure Aryan race within 120 years. However, the dimension of the phenomenon that remained below the surface was utterly terrifying. A look at an article by Dr. Willibald Henschel, a Nazi racial theoretician, in the racist magazine Der Hammer, is sufficient to reveal just how terrifying. Collect 1,000 German women and isolate them in a camp. Put them together with 100 German men. If you construct a camp along those lines, you will obtain 100,000 pure race children. In line with that policy, blonde, blue-eyed, sturdy women thought to possess Aryan characteristics were settled in special camps. The Nazis paid regular visits to such camps and enjoyed relations with the women in them. As a result, large numbers of new representatives of the Aryan race began appearing in SS hospitals. As the first basis of the policy of eugenics was being implemented with such determination, the second element had been set in motion elsewhere, in places nobody would see. Nazi racial policy had been put on show at an exhibition in Berlin in March 1935. The slogan above the photographs of handicapped people in a special hall: "Can this be called life?" announced the second basis of the policy of eugenics to the world. In a propaganda film made in 1937, the idea was propagated that, in line with the logic of Darwin's idea of natural selection, the handicapped in society had to be eradicated.
Alles Lebensschwache geht in der Natur unfehlbar zugrunde. Wir Menschen haben gegen dieses Gesetz der natürlichen Auslese in den letzten Jahrzehnten furchtbar gesündigt. Wir haben unwertes Leben nicht nur erhalten, wir haben ihm auch Vermehrung gewährt. Die Nachkommen dieser Kranken sahen so aus. Erbgesunde Menschen wohnten in engen, lichtlosen Gassen und halb verfallenen Lauben. Idioten und Schwachsinnigen baute man aber Paläste. Und diese kranken Menschen waren gar nicht empfänglich für die Schönheit, mit der man sie umgab. Das deutsche Volk kennt das ganze Ausmaß dieses Elends wohl kaum. Es kennt nicht den drückenden Geist jener Häuser, in denen tausende lallende Schwachsinnige künstlich ernährt und gepflegt werden müssen, die tiefer stehen als jedes Tier. In den letzten 70 Jahren hat sich unser Volk um 50% vermehrt, während die Zahl der Erbkranken im gleichen Zeitraum um 450% gestiegen ist. Wenn diese Entwicklung so weiterliefe, würde schon in 50 Jahren auf 4 gesunde Menschen ein Erbkranker kommen. Ein endloser Zug des Grauens würde in die Nation hineinmarschieren. Maßloses Elend über ein wertvolles Volk kommen, das dann mit Riesenschritten seinem Ende entgegenginge.
As a result of this paranoia, the mental handicapped, the crippled, the blind from birth, and those with inherited diseases in German society were rounded up and sent to special sterilization centers. These people were regarded as parasites who damaged the racial purity and evolutionary progress of the German race. They would soon be exterminated. In another propaganda film, the Jews were selected as the target, being compared to rats who spread disease through society and constantly consumed its resources.
Auf Auftauchen tragen sie Vernichtung ins Land, zerstören sie menschliche Güter und Nahrungsmittel. Auf diese Weise verbreiten sie Krankheiten, Pest, Lepra, Typhus, Cholera, Ruhr und so weiter. Sie sind hinterlistig, feige und grausam und treten meist in großen Scharen auf. Sie stellen unter den Tieren das Element der heimtückischen unterirdischen Zerstörung dar. Nicht anders als die Juden unter den Menschen.
Initially, the Nazis purged everyone they regarded as an inferior race from German society. These people fell into the claws of a worse poverty than had ever been seen before in human history. Every single day, large numbers of them would die on the roads, the streets, or the pavements. At the root of these terrible murders perpetrated by the Nazis lies their pagan ideology. In justifying this perverted culture they were now able to revive after many hundreds of years, they found enormous support in Darwin's racist theory. The Nazis' hostility towards the Jews was an expression of their hostility towards all the monotheistic religions. They harbored a great enmity towards all the prophet Jesus and Christianity, and clearly demonstrated that enmity everywhere they seized power. Festivals regarded as sacred by Christians were banned. Hitler's Mein Kampf was declared to be a sacred text rather than the Bible, and oaths were taken by the sun and light. Article 30 of the German Church Statutes, forcibly imposed by the Nazis, states, "The Christian cross will be removed from all churches and cathedrals and replaced by the swastika, the Germans' own immortal symbol." Together with that measure, places of worship were torn down, religious schools closed, and prominent members of the country's clergy sent to concentration camps or imprisoned. Most of these people were killed by legal methods. The Nazis' pagan beliefs and barbaric nature were the inevitable consequences of one another.
birbirinin doğal sonucudur.
Because pagan religions contain all kinds of moral degeneration. Ethical values of monotheistic religions, on the other hand, teach a high and noble morality. Behavior such as cruelty, slaughter, and corruption are sins roundly condemned and prohibited in Islam, as they are in Judaism and Christianity, the other monotheistic religions that became corrupted over the course of time. In the Quran, God calls people to justice, compassion, and humility. He curses the cruel, the wicked, and the arrogant. As revealed in Surah 2, verse 205, God does not love corruption. The Nazis developed frightful methods to implement their intended slaughter. The sick were first loaded onto specially designed buses and taken for a short excursion. The windows were blacked out to prevent anyone seeing what was going on inside. The buses had been so designed that the exhaust gases would be pumped into the interior. These short tours of the city would inevitably end in the graveyard. Death houses, known as sterilization centers, were soon built in such settlements as Hadamar, Brandenburg, Grafneck, Hartheim, and Sonnenstein. The countless numbers of sick people, women, children, and the elderly dispatched to these centers were either given a lethal injection or else gassed in small groups. Their corpses were burnt in the center crematoria. However, the constantly smoking crematoria chimneys caused the population around to sense the terrible truth. The families of those killed were sent letters of condolence adorned with false doctors' names and false signatures, mendaciously reporting that the person concerned had died of a lethal illness. Soon afterwards, the sterilization centers began being used for an even more evil purpose. Nazi doctors set about performing frightful experiments on those sent to the centers. The Nazis, completely devoid of such feelings commanded by religious moral values as love, affection, compassion, or sympathy, committed hitherto unseen barbarities. They used people as living experimental material in disgusting tests for the well-being of the so-called Aryan race. For example, in order to determine the kinds of problems German pilots would face flying at high altitudes and the effects they would experience on bailing out with a parachute, some sick people were forced to don flying gear. A parachute harness was strapped onto them, and they were placed into pressure chambers and subjected to low pressures until their internal organs ruptured. In another experiment, they tested how long a pilot could survive after landing in the Arctic Ocean. Sick people in pilot gear were forced into ice-filled baths to measure how long it would take them to die. The most frightful of these inhuman experiments were directed by Josef Mengele, the notorious doctor at the Auschwitz concentration camp. Infamous for his experiments on children, and particularly twins, Mengele extracted the lymph glands from 20 children in his first experiment. The children were then injected with tuberculosis, and the results observed. None survived. One phase of the barbaric experiments performed in order to fill the world with people with Aryan characteristics concerned the color of people's eyes. At this stage, Mengele began selecting children with brown eyes on his morning tour of Auschwitz. His aim was to turn their eyes blue by injecting them with various fluids. All the victims suffered terrible pain and were permanently blinded, some even dying. The screams of innocent victims could be heard in even the furthest corners of the sterilization camps. However, it should be known that the evil people who committed all these atrocities will receive a just recompense for what they did. In one verse of the Quran, God describes the fate in the hereafter awaiting those who oppress others. There are only grounds against those who wrong people and act as tyrants in the earth without any right to do so. Such people will have a painful punishment. On September 1, 1939, the German armies invaded Poland. They would subsequently attack the whole of continental Europe, the Soviet Union, and North Africa. There were two main aims behind these occupations: to create living room for representatives of the Aryan race, and to eliminate non-Aryans. Hitler wished to erase all large cities from the map. He actually drew his war strategy from very ancient cultures. At the time of the barbarian tribes, there was one very important rule of war. As soon as the enemy had been vanquished or his army defeated, the reason for his very existence needed to be done away with. The only solution was to destroy everything belonging to him. Killing and shedding blood was regarded as a sacred duty among these tribes, who lived in a constant state of war. Even Rome, regarded as the most civilized state in the pagan world, was a place where human beings would be torn apart by wild animals or forced to fight to the death in the arena. However, another state at around that same time left all these far behind in its implementation of barbaric practices. Sparta, believed to have been founded in around the 8th century BC, was the first fascist state in history. The lives of strong and healthy children were dedicated to the state, but another fate awaited sickly babies: death. The songs that children were taught and allowed to sing were about nothing other than war and violence. Up to a certain age, their only duty was to improve their physiques by means of exercise, to grow strong, and to learn how to wage war. There was but one aim behind their training, to turn each one into a killing machine. Centuries later, fascist Germany and Italy, inspired by this philosophy of violence, would brainwash young minds in exactly the same way, producing killing machines from children's earliest years. One of those who made the most detailed comments about Sparta was the famous Greek philosopher Plato. He was truly impressed by the fascist regime in Sparta and portrayed it as a model state in his books. Thus it was that oppressive regimes received their first sources of inspiration. Plato cold-bloodedly defended the baby killing in Sparta and was the first theoretical proponent of the concept of eugenics. Plato's twisted views that regarded human beings as a kind of animal that could be made to evolve by being mated together re-entered the world stage with Darwinism in the 19th century. They were then translated into life by the Nazis in the 20th century. By means of this thinking and these practices, Plato and the Spartans revealed the fundamental characteristics of fascism, a mentality that regards human beings as a species of animal, fanatical racism, the praising of war and conflict.
In euch all das aufnehmt, was wir dereinst uns von Deutschland hoffen.
Hitler established his war strategy based on an admiration of the barbarian pagan tribes and on the fascist mindset of Sparta in particular. Ruthlessness and mass destruction. Hitler himself described Sparta as the state with the purest race in history. Ancient Rome, he thought, was the mightiest in history. If we can construct a synthesis of Athens, Rome, and Sparta, our state will last forever. It is for these reasons that the Second World War, which the Germans began by occupying Poland, was one in which innocent civilians were specifically targeted. The German armies destroyed those cities they encountered. They exterminated Jews, Slavs, Poles, and Gypsies. The German Air Force left not a stone standing in the cities it bombed to oblivion. The outcome of Hitler's ideology was 55 million people dead. In short, Nazism inflicted war and corruption on the world. Yet God's commandment is for peace to prevail in the world, not war. Those who do good and avoid corruption are given these glad tidings. That abode of the hereafter, we grant it to those who do not seek to exalt themselves in the earth or to cause corruption in it. The successful outcome is for those who guard against evil. Germany was not the first country to be engulfed by fascist ideology. At more or less the same time, a similar philosophy of violence had seized power in Italy. The party emblem was the pagan one of a bundle of sticks tied around an axe. The party leader was one Benito Mussolini. After the First World War, Italy was left facing terrible poverty. More than 600,000 people had died because of the war, and another 500,000 had been crippled. Economic depression and unemployment were rife. Most of the population consisted of widows and orphans. The war had cost the Italians a great deal, but they had achieved few of their aims. As with most people exhausted by war, the Italians longed for glorious victories and days of pomp and circumstance. The former glories of ancient Rome were recalled with longing, and the country still claimed rights to ancient Roman territories. In the same way that Nazi Germany looked back to the pagan culture of the past, Italy, too, was living on its dreams. Regarding the social tension and search for a system in Italy after the end of the First World War as an ideal opportunity, Mussolini brought together former soldiers, the unemployed, and various radical university students. Mussolini organized his supporters in a semi-military outfit known as the Black Shirts. The Black Shirts were ruthless and aggressive. They began carrying out street attacks on groups they regarded as rivals. With their Roman-style salutes, songs, uniforms, slogans, and official marches past, they provoked an emotional furor in the ignorant and despairing population. On October 29, 1922, the fascists entered Rome with 50,000 militants. Realizing that resistance in the face of this force was futile, the king charged Mussolini with forming a new government. Shortly thereafter, Mussolini closed down all the other political parties. Some opposition leaders were exiled and others imprisoned. Mussolini was regarded by the fascists as a superior, chosen being with special abilities and a special calling. Mussolini's official propaganda service told the press which photograph was to be published when, on which page, and in what size. Il Dulce was depicted in magnificent pictures as a powerful commander, or working on the harvest, or addressing young fascists, or making policy. In all these publications, Mussolini was portrayed as the man who knew best in all areas. The pages of the newspapers were full of pictures of him flying planes, taking photographs, swimming or skiing in the Alps. The leader of fascist ideology was literally being turned into an idol. In 1935, Mussolini invaded Abyssinia without even declaring war. He regarded this conquest as necessary if he was to realize his fascist ideals. On October 2, 1935, fully equipped Italian forces attacked strategic points in the country. The use of poisonous mustard gas in populated areas caused terrible loss of life. The peace-loving populace under the leadership of King Haile Selassie were unable to resist the modern machines of war with their primitive weaponry. The result was a complete massacre. Yet despite all his military strength, Mussolini was defeated in the Second World War. Mussolini and his senior administrators were hanged. Another country struck down by fascism was Spain. Supported by Hitler and Mussolini, Franco's armies seized control after a long and ruthless war against their opponents, the communists. Francisco Franco then installed a most repressive regime and ruled the country until 1975 with his iron fist policy. He had hundreds of thousands of his own people killed, making no allowances for the elderly, women, or children. Franco drove Spain into a major civil war in 1936. Brother fought against brother, and father against son. An average of 500 people died every day during this civil war. Incidents of violence, massacres, mass torture, and inhuman killings never ceased. The Spanish Civil War left some 600,000 dead in its wake. Hitler and Mussolini used Spain just like a laboratory as a testing ground for their weapons and troops. The most striking example of this was one village Franco made over to Hitler in return for his assistance. On the morning of May 5, 1937, the people of the town of Guernica were wiped out by a fleet of giant bombers produced by Nazi technology. The little town had been abandoned by Franco for the Nazis to test their planes with. Fascism suffered a military defeat in the Second World War. The alliance between Nazi Germany, Fascist Italy, and Japanese fascism was defeated in the war, and the fascist regimes in all three countries were eliminated. Hitler committed suicide. Mussolini was hanged by his own countrymen. And the government in Japan dissolved itself. Fascism arose in the first half of the 20th century, but collapsed before that century had reached its halfway point. However, that collapse did not mean that fascism had been entirely eradicated from the face of the earth. Following the Second World War, fascism began growing again in the Third World countries. The dictators and juntas that seized power in Latin America and Africa basically possessed fascist ideologies. The Chilean dictator Pinochet, who staged a bloody coup d'etat against the then head of state Allende in 1973, turned the country into a lake of blood. During the military junta in Argentina, thousands of opponents of the regime disappeared. It subsequently emerged that more than 2,000 political prisoners had been loaded onto planes and thrown into the sea off the Argentinian coasts from thousands of meters high. The savagery experienced in Guatemala was terrifying. The fascist regime that in 1954 overthrew the country's first and only elected president, Jacobo Arbenz, turned the country into a killing field in the 1960s and 70s. Fascist regimes that seized power in such Latin American countries as El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Paraguay perpetrated unbelievable slaughter. Similar fascist regimes remained in power for many years in such African countries as Zaire, Uganda, and South Africa. The regime in South Africa had a deeply racist ideology reminiscent of Nazi Germany. The blacks, the native inhabitants of the country who represented the majority of its population, were for decades exploited by the white minority in power. All these instances show what terrible consequences rule by despotic individuals can have. God makes reference to such people in the Quran. Whenever he holds the upper hand, he goes about the earth corrupting it, destroying people's crops and breeding stock. God does not love corruption. The defeat suffered by fascist ideology in the Second World War did not, as it is commonly believed, spell that ideology's total collapse. It is true that the most prominent representatives of fascism were removed from the scene, but paganism, Darwinism, the love of violence and racism, the foundations of fascism still remained. As a result of this, neo-Nazis and racist parties began becoming influential in Europe, especially in Germany. A terrifying movement made its appearance in the 1970s. The main characteristic of this skinhead movement was the attacks carried out by street gangs against immigrants, foreigners, and those living in poor neighborhoods. In later years, most skinheads were turned to racism and began racist actions as supporters of Nazism. The neo-Nazis number around 70,000 and are active in 33 countries and on 6 continents. These young people, aged between 13 and 25, with a nostalgia for Nazism, generally consist of drug addicts and unemployed street hoodlums. They can be instantly recognized by the Nazi symbols on their clothes, their shaved heads and tattoos. These tattoos generally emphasize a hostility towards other races. They praise Hitler in their slogans, conversation, and songs, and claim to be dedicated to making his dreams a reality. A world ruled by the Aryan race. Others of their defining features are violence, hatred, intimidation, making threats, destruction, and inflicting harm on others. Those who inflict the greatest quantities of these are declared to be heroes. The neo-Nazis are the radical representatives of the racist movement in Europe. One might describe them as the cutting edge of the fascist axe. Yet that axe also has a handle, and these people represent a wider social and political spectrum than the neo-Nazis. The activities of the neo-Nazis are actually a reflection of the increasingly strengthening racist attitudes in Europe. The fact that a great many people in Europe actually possess a hidden racism in imagining their race to be superior to others provides covert support for the neo-Nazis. According to research carried out in 1997, the racist potential in Europe as a whole was calculated at around 33%. That level is observed to be even higher in Belgium, France, and Austria in particular. The levels of those describing themselves as quite or very racist is around 55% in Belgium, 48% in France, and 42% in Austria. The figure for Germany is 34%. Whenever fascist organizations are mentioned these days, most people first think of the German neo-Nazis. The fact is, however, that there are a great many more groups under the fascist umbrella. There are many active fascist groups in the USA, and on the theoretical level, these are in a more important position than the German neo-Nazis. These groups generally use the slogan white supremacy. Most importantly, they put this forward as a philosophical and scientific doctrine, not as a hostility to foreigners caused by economic troubles. Various fascist organizations, such as the Ku Klux Klan, the American Nazi Party, the Aryan Nation Movement, and the National Alliance are to be found under the white supremacy umbrella. The aim of these groups, which are very active on the internet, is to propagate the doctrine of a racist worldview and to disseminate it as widely as possible. Fascist racism, born from the reawakening of pagan culture in the 19th century and from Darwin's theory of evolution, is still growing in the 21st century and based on exactly the same foundations. As we have clearly seen throughout the course of this film, fascism is an ideology that has wreaked the most terrible destruction. It has led to the deaths and torture of millions of people simply because of their race, as well as to the tragedy of the Second World War. Everywhere it has raised its head, it has sought to eliminate all human values by creating a society of fear. Today it is manifested as a widespread regime in Latin American and African countries in particular, and in the Western world by growing racist tendencies and neo-Nazi organizations. Fascist culture is also spreading onto the streets in a great many countries, and is producing barbarian groups that delight in violence and bloodshed. A worldwide intellectual struggle against fascism is therefore essential. If fascism is to be eliminated, then paganism and such myths as the Darwinist concept of conflict and Darwinist racism must first be overcome in the intellectual sphere. In order for that to happen, people need to be taught such basic moral concepts as love, affection, compassion, modesty, tolerance, and justice, and these need to be propagated widely. The source of all these concepts is the Quran. While fascism incites people to war, violence, bloodshed, and racism, the moral values of the Quran commanded by God represent the foundations of a world filled with peace and security. A society molded by these moral values will never permit the emergence of fascism, nor of its red equivalent, communism. Turkey is an excellent example of this. All the many efforts to export fascist and communist ideology to Turkey ended in failure, and the country distanced itself totally from both these totalitarian ideologies. The most important reason for this are the fundamental moral values inculcated in Turkish society by Islam. In fact, Turkey, as both the representative of these values and the heir to the Ottoman Empire, could represent a model that would impede the progress of fascism all over the world, re-establishing peace and security as the Ottomans once did. In many regions of the world suffering from fascist violence can only be achieved by a country that believes in religious values and initiates policies inspired by them. We hope that this will happen and that the leaders referred to in God's verse, people with a vestige of good, who forbade corruption in the earth, will eliminate the evil of fascism once and for all in the 21st century.